Let's join our hearts together for a moment of prayer, please. Beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the day and each blessing and opportunity, and especially for the opportunity we have to be in Thy house to worship Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might be with us today, that today, this morning, as we've met together, that as Thou hast been with us in the singing of hymns, wilt Thou be with us, we pray, in the preaching and hearing of Thy Word. Bless Thy servant to preach Thy Word. Bless Thy people to hear and understand. Bless it all, above all things, O Lord. May it honor and glorify Thee, and then may it edify and strengthen Thy people. Bless, we pray, those who have asked an interest in prayer, and all for whom as our duty and privilege to pray. And this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, and verses 9 and 10. Again, the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, and verses 9 and 10. Now, these two verses of Scripture read, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with song. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider these verses of Scripture and some other related verses of Scripture. Jabez, if you're familiar with this, is a man that's written in genealogy. Now, sometimes we wonder, well, why is all this genealogy important? And it's important because of the genealogy of one man, and that is Jesus Christ. So as you can see, that he is the son of Abraham, the son of Adam, and also the son of David. And so we have these genealogical records for that reason, maybe among others, but that. But it's not just exactly clear who this man Jabez was. Because what we see in 1 Chronicles, the previous verse, it says, "And Koz begat Anub and Zobeba and the families of Aharel, the son of Haran." Now, so there's nothing, it says nothing about who Jabez's father was. But he evidently came from the tribe of Judah, because this chapter is about genealogy from the tribe of Judah. And the only direct reference to Jabez is in these two verses of Scripture. That is, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. And there is a place called Jabez, and that's in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55. And in the middle of genealogy, the writer emphasized Jabez. Now, as I say, the writer emphasized Jabez. We don't know who wrote the book of 1 Chronicles. I looked in the beginning of the book here, and it didn't say whoever wrote it's uncertain. I would tend to think, I don't know, of course, but I would tend to think that it was written by a number of people over a different time because of the span of time that's found there in the book of 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles also. All right, but it was by inspiration of the Spirit of God. Some man wrote this down for us, and yet it was inspired by the Spirit of God. So God intended for this to be here in the Word of God. He is called more honorable, and his honor is shown in the prayer that he offered. That is, and his prayer shows a great love of God. I may say a little bit more about that later. But here's this man, Jabez. Now, Jabez asked the Lord to bless him. All right, for what blessings did he ask? And he asked that the Lord would enlarge his coast. Now, one of the things I thought about that, and I studied this a number of years ago, and that is that the boundaries for the nation of Israel were already set. There's a reference to this to some degree in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 28. Again, the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 28. And it says here in this verse of Scripture, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." I think it was in the book of Joshua, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't go back and look at that, but in the book of Joshua it says that this was for the tribe of Judah, this was for the tribe of Gad, this was the tribe of Issachar and Benjamin and all the other tribes there that was given certain land, that is certain lines to be to those lands. And then different families within the tribes had a certain allotment of land there. And so that's what we have. So the boundaries were already set. Now he may have been asking at this time for the Canaanites to be expelled from the land. Now, I was listening on Christian radio one day this past week, and this man was mentioning the fact that evidently, according to what he said, that the Israelites did not possess all the land that God promised that they could possess. Not all of them. In fact, this man, I don't have any way of saying yay or nay concerning this, but this man said they actually only possessed or conquered 10% of the land that God had promised them. But and so it may have been that. So there were still Canaanites and other nations within the land. And so he may have been asking that the Canaanites might be expelled from the land. And he may have been requesting an increased influence. And from things I've read, it seems to indicate that he was asking for some increased influence. That is, he would be able to, by his life, to live in such a way that others would be faithful to the Lord. And the verse of scripture I thought of when I thought about this was Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. It reads, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's a good motto for our lives. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And the Lord help us always to not only to remember that, and to remember that. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that there are many other people, no doubt, have been a blessing to my life, and I thank the Lord for them. I think they're primitive Baptist ministers who have been a blessing to my life. I think there are lay people among the primitive Baptists, brothers and sisters and children, who have been a blessing to my life. There have been those that were ministers or non-ministers among that weren't primitive Baptists that have been a blessing to my life. That is, good, godly, Christian people have been a blessing to my life. It's just been a blessing to be around them. I think about two men when we lived in Thomaston. I'd eat at 2:00 on Thursday afternoon, lunch that is, and there was a minister of another group of people, and then there was another man who wasn't a minister. His brother is a primitive Baptist, but he's a good man. He's got a background in another church. But the thing is, and when I sit with those men, I don't worry about what might come out of their mouth. And so, and that way, it's just a blessing to be around them. And I thank the Lord for that. But one that I particularly thought of a number of times when I was thinking about this is one that met with me right over there one time. And that's Brother George Daniel. And Brother George married Catherine and me right in front of the pulpit here. And we stood right out there and we came in here. We saw Catherine and the others come in there. But Brother George is one of those that I can consider a father in the ministry. And that is, he taught me a lot of different things in the Word of God. I remember there was a time that there was one particular subject that I said, well, I know practically all there is to know about that, but Brother George said a few words, and I said, well, you know, he's forgotten more about that than I'll ever know about that particular subject. So he was a blessing to my life, and the way he lived his life, he and Sister Ruby, by the way they conducted their lives, that was a blessing to my life, and I thank the Lord for that. And I think he taught me a number of things and led me in a good way, and I thank the Lord for that. But that's one. There are other ministers. And other people, many others have been a blessing in my life. And I pray many times that the Lord would bless me to be a blessing to the lives of others as others have been to me. And I thank the Lord for those others again. Now, he may have been requesting, among all the other things there, he may have been requesting a spiritual growth. And we need to grow spiritually. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. In fact, I think it's the last two verses of 2 Peter, but it is not certain of the last two verses of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. And these two verses read, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." That is, there was a danger that they could fall from their own steadfastness. Now, how could they keep themselves from, what was one of the ways anyway, they could keep themselves from falling from their own steadfastness? Look at the very next verse. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." All right, so we find in these verses there that he was concerned that there were believers in Jesus Christ, though they were faithful to the Lord, Jesus Christ, because he said they were steadfast in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was concerned it could happen to them or anyone else that they fall from their steadfastness. He said, "But," next word, I mean, forget all those things that are happening before that, but listen to what follows there. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so, there's a need that all of us have that we might grow spiritually. Now, Jabez also asked the Lord that he might keep him from the evil. He asked the Lord to keep him from temptation. In the model prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said there, well, let me turn over and make sure I get that right. Matthew 6 and verse 13, it reads, and "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So we find in that verse of Scripture that's part of what we ought to pray. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying that particular prayer. But I think it's that particular prayer, among other things, is a pattern for our prayers. That is, we consider our own prayers, the prayers that we offer to God, whether it's public prayers or whether it's private prayers or whatever the case may be. That is, we compare our prayers that we offer to this model prayer. This model prayer, by the, just for the record, is full of the praise of God. But again, part of that model prayer is that the Lord would lead us not into temptation, but rather that He would deliver us from evil, and that He can do it because His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And as He said in there, amen. And that is, thine is the kingdom. One thing we need to remember is that the land of Canaan was a foreshadow, sometimes we say type and shadow, it was a foreshadow of the kingdom of God that we have here in this world, which, by the way, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 is called righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it was Jabez's desire, that is, that he would be led from evil, protected from evil, that he would be influenced others for good. And some say the place was called Jabez. That's in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55. That place called Jabez was a place where evidently he had a great influence on a lot of other people there. That was his desire, to influence others for good. But he did not want the grief of evil. He asked him to ask the Lord to protect him from evil because he did not want the grief of evil. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, I'm going to turn over and read over there just for a minute. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and it reads, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That is, we can grieve the Spirit of God if we don't walk in the ways according to the Spirit of God. We don't follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. You might ask, well, how do we know what the leadership of the Spirit of God is? Well, God, the Spirit of God inspired this word. And this Word of God, God's Word, the Bible, is a pattern for our lives. And if we're following the teachings that are found in the Word of God, then we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But he says in this passage of Scripture, we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God is grieved when we don't follow in His ways. We have the Holy Spirit within us, brothers and sisters, and when we don't live as we ought to live, that grieves us. There's something that tells us that this is not right, and it grieves us, and thank the Lord for the sorrow. I can't remember just exactly where this is found, because it's just come to me. I didn't think about it at the time when I was studying, but it says, godless sorrow worketh sorrow never to be repented of. That is, if we have a godless sorrow of things that we do in our lives, that works. That's a sorrow that we never need to be repented of. And so God helps us to remember that. But what grieves Him, that is what grieves the Holy Spirit, also grieves us, because the Holy Spirit is within us. Now, we should ask for mature blessing. Now, we'll stop right there. And that is, and that honors God. If I ask God for something that I feel that I need in my life, that honors God. Because it honors Him as a giver of every good gift and every perfect gift. That is, when I ask for a particular blessing from God, it honors Him because it recognizes Him as the giver of all blessings. And so that honors God. And we should ask God for material blessings, but we need to always remember that the most important blessings we can experience are spiritual blessings. The most important blessings we'll ever have are spiritual blessings. Now, Jabez asked that the Lord would bless him indeed. Now, in our language today, that's an expression of emphasizing his desire that God would be with him and bless him. Or it's a way of saying, I suppose, that Jabez was asking the Lord to bless him greatly. But if you look at this word indeed that's in this verse of Scripture, and the word from which it's translated, we see a different message there. Indeed is translated from a Hebrew word, and it means to bless God. Again, indeed is translated from a Hebrew word, it means to bless God. It reminded me of Psalm 103 in verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Listen, to me, that's one of the most beautiful expressions of Scripture that's found in the Word of God. Now, we can't bless the Lord. As we think about God blessing us, we can't bless the Lord in that way. God has everything. Psalm 24 and verse 1 reads, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. Therein, beg your pardon. Now, think about that just for a moment. I don't know what that leaves out. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. That doesn't leave out anything. God owns everything, at least as a part of His creation. God owns it all. So what can we give God? Nothing. But the word bless, as we find it as it's used in sometimes in the Scriptures, especially in Psalm 103, verse 1, means to praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. All right. And so, Jabez's desire was that he might praise the Lord. And now, this shows his love for the Lord. Now, that is, think about it in this way. What Jabez is requesting is that God would bless him. And whatever blessings that God blessed Jabez to have, and however we want to interpret that, and whatever blessings that God blessed Jabez to have, that Jabez would then use that to the praise of God. And that's one thing we need to remember in our lives. Now, the rest of this prayer seems to be consistent with that. His desire for his blessings was to use in praising the Lord. If maturely, he would use them to praise the Lord. If his influence was increased, then he would praise the Lord for that. If he was kept from evil, he would praise the Lord for that. That is, he wouldn't go around saying, I don't do what this person over there says. But he would praise the Lord because the Lord blessed him to depart from evil. And so the whatever blessings that God had granted Jabez to have, then he prayed that the Lord would bless him to praise him for giving those blessings or use those blessings in the praise of the Lord. God granted Jabez's request. God granted Jabez's request. And we find that at the end of 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. There are many requests that will not be granted. Now, if you will, turn with me to the book of James, and I want to read from chapter 4 and verse 3. The book of James, chapter 4 and verse 3. And it reads, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You see, the idea that there were those that asked for blessings, and they just wanted to consume it upon themselves. That is, they didn't care about giving God the glory. They just wanted the Lord to pile the blessings on them, and they would live just any way they wanted to. And so, if we ask in such a way that God will not grant those requests. But here is a request. That is a request of Jabez that was granted. And if we offer the same type of request, I believe that God will grant us that. And that is blessings that will honor the Lord. Or blessings, excuse me, that we could use in honoring the Lord. And so, my brothers and sisters, may God bless us to pray that we might please the Lord. That's what we do in our lives, to please the Lord. And when we ask God's blessings, then we would ask the Lord to give us those blessings so that we might please Him. I know I should have prayed about many other things that I have, but every time we have vehicles and we don't have money to throw away by any means, and I pray that the Lord would bless us to get a good vehicle at a good price and be able to make the payments on that, and also that I would use that vehicle in His service. Now, we have a pickup, and I prayed for prayed in that way about that pickup, and I tried to use it in the service of God. I've been to hospitals and nursing homes and church and meetings of all different kinds and so forth, and I use it in that way, and I'm very thankful that I was able to do that. Right now it has about 225,000 miles on it, or something like that. But and a lot of that is put in the service of God in one way or another. And I'm very thankful for that. But again, I want to remind you, the most important blessings we have, we can request of the Lord, are spiritual blessings. And we need to remember that any blessings that God gives us, we're to use that to His honor and to His praise and His glory. The Lord help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.